Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.
John Giles is on the line. Evening, John.
Evening, Nathan.
So it's Liverpool-Real Madrid in the Champions League final. Liverpool at various stages of the semi-final, they were 5-0 up, they were 7-3 up, yet still, I don't want to say they were hanging on at the end, but there were certainly a few nervy moments. How do you sum up the two semi-finals from a Liverpool point of view?
Well, they're very good from a Liverpool point of view, Nathan, because they're through. But I'd say it was typical Liverpool, because brilliant going forward, no emphasis on defending. You know, when you look at it, if 7-6 on aggregate, 7-6 in a semi-final, Nathan, it's unbelievable. And look at one, like they were home and dry, and then they lose a couple of goals again, like they did last week when they were winning 5-0. But they got through, and, you know, that's Klopp. Klopp, you've got to live with that if you're a Liverpool supporter. He's all go, and I don't think there's any other way that he can do it, Nathan, you know? Like, I described him when he first came in as a one-trick pony with a very, very good trick, and I still think that's the case.
It was
because most times, in my experience anyway, if you go, say, 2-0 up or 3-0 up, you know, they say goals dictate the game. So you can play in a certain way. Say you're 2-0 up or 3-0 up, Nathan,
yeah,
and you get the ball. Now, you don't have to play chancy balls, you know, to put somebody through. You can slow the game down in a certain way and let the other team be a bit desperate to get forward, and you can pick them off from there. So you dictate the game or the flow of the game. So the worst that will happen to you that you'll win, you know, 2-1, 3-1, and you can still score a goal yourself. But with Liverpool, it's just go. In other words, they're either scoring goals or they're losing goals, because they don't have anybody in. Like, Milner's terrific. He's a terrific lad, and Henderson a good-handed lad. But they've nobody in the middle of the field that can control the game in the way in which the game is going. Do you know what I mean, Nathan?
Yeah.
Say you go 2-0 up after 10 minutes. There's a way to play it from there, you know? Liverpool had it, say, when Graeme Souness would play it in the old days with Dalglish. Souness could do it from the middle of the field. You could say, like, we're 2-0 up, we're playing a certain way, this is the way we play when we're, and go and get another goal, but not concede. So you're controlling the game. They don't have anybody to do that in the Liverpool team. So it's go. And what they have is three brilliant strikers, as we know, who are scoring the goals for them.
Yeah.
But even last night, you know, the fact that, you know, Roma could come back at them, finish 7-6, it's unbelievable. But good luck to them. They're in the final.
It was interesting listening to some of the post-match interviews last night, because it was the first time I've heard a lot of the Liverpool players talk about game management and acknowledge themselves that they don't seem comfortable in seeing out games. So does that suggest that it's not something that they're working on the training ground, or is it, as you say, maybe they simply don't have the players whose style of play is suited to trying to close a game out?
No, they don't have the players, Nathan. You know, if you look at the players in the middle of the field, they got Henderson, Milner, one or two of the other lads there. Who played what's his name?
Wijnaldum, yeah.
You know, like, he's not going to get on the ball. Milner's great, and he's a good-hearted lad. So Henderson is a good-hearted lad as well. But none of them can do... We might have spoken about this. It's like what Modric normally does for Real Madrid, or De Bruyne does for Manchester City, where they can dictate the game. That's the only position you can dictate it from, in the middle of the field, particularly in the middle of the midfield, where you can control the game, a little pass here, a little pass there. Because once you have the ball, there's only one ball on the pitch, so you have the ball and you get 2-0 or 3-0 up, then you keep the opposition away from the ball. You keep the ball away from the opposition, and you can still nick another goal, because what happens then when you're 2 or 3 up, the other teams usually get desperate, Nathan, and they leave themselves open for another goal. But you have to control it. Liverpool do it. Go. All the time. Because they've nobody else to slow it down. And obviously, when that gives the opposition an opportunity to come back into the game, which Roma have proven in the two matches that they looked dead and buried, but they still lose goals. You know, like, Liverpool have lost a lot of goals in the last few weeks. Lost 2 at West Brom. You know, they lost goals last night. They lost goals last week. And it's chancy, to say the least. Now, they've done it well. That's what Klopp believes in, and that's what he goes. There's no half measures with him, Nathan.
Yeah.
He's going to depend on the lads up front to go, and in his head, they're going to attack for 90 minutes. I don't think there's any emphasis on defending at all. But he's got to the European Cup final and third or fourth in the league in the Premiership. That's the way. That's what he believes in. And that's what he does. And that's why he's got the three lads up front that he's got. Don't forget, he had Benteke there for a while. He had Sturridge. He got them out.
Yeah.
To get these lads in. You know, that's what he wants. That's what he believes in. And good luck to him.
Do you think, and maybe we've had this conversation a lot about that Modric-type midfielder, and he's the world leader in that. But then when we go down, it's quite often after three or four world-class players to find players like that. Do you think Klopp has looked at this with Liverpool's budget and realised there's nobody there who I can sign that can fill that midfield position like a Modric? There's nobody we can afford, or there's nobody we can convince to come to the club. So I'm going to go for a different type of player, somebody who I can trust to play a quick fire attacking game, who'll get the ball forward, who won't hang on to it for too long, and ultimately then that'll be our style of football. It's not really around one midfielder.
Well, I'm not so sure he believes in it, Nathan, to be honest. I think if he got, like, I don't think he's going to pay a lot of money for Modric. Now, he did have Coutinho there, who was capable of doing a lot of that stuff, but he sold him. So he might not believe in it.
Mm.
You know, I'm only giving you my opinion of what I think should be the way. He might not believe in that. I mean, if he was offered Modric, he might know. He might be slowing it down too much for him. He might be, you know, he just mightn't want to do it because this is what he believes in. Like when he was at Dortmund, I don't remember him having a general in the middle of the field there. Now, I don't know, I can't remember that much about them, but I don't remember that happening. And when I was watching Bruce, they were the same. I remember seeing them in one match for the first time. I think they were winning 1-0 in a big match. And it was go. I'd never seen this before.
Hmm.
Now, he encourages the players to do it, and that's what he believes in. And he has got them to the Champions League final, and as I say, third in the league. He hasn't spent a lot of money. He got a lot of money in for Coutinho, but he hasn't spent a lot of money. Now, why do he believe in getting a player in like that? I don't know, but only going from my own experience playing, that when I was playing, we went 2-0 up after 10 minutes. There's a way of playing it, you know. There's a way of controlling it. If you're 2 down, then you have to go for it in a certain way, but you have to be controlled about it. But certainly when you go 2-0 up, then the opposition, they're in the same frame. We've got to take chances to get back into this game. Then you pick them off again. You know, Liverpool don't do that. It's score one, we got two, we got three, we got four, we got five. And, you know, they don't control the game at all in that particular way. It's all or nothing.
Yeah. And is
but
there,
he believes in it. He believes in it, Nathan, you know.
Yeah, is there almost a different kind of discipline that Klopp requires from his players? The discipline to work as hard as you can for as long as you can, to be able to constantly put that sort of pressure on that, all right, maybe defensively, they don't have to be as responsible at times, but in terms of the energy that he requires from the players, you need to have that.
It doesn't have to be one or the other, you see, Nathan. You know, you can have good defenders who do their stuff and you have a balance to it. You know, again, if you go back to the great Manchester United teams where they had Vidic and Ferdinand, the Scholes and Beckham and Keane in midfield, and always had good strikers, there was a good balance to it. I don't think it has to be one or the other. Obviously, Klopp believes that is the case. It has to be this. We're going to score. And that's where you get the inconsistency in the results that he gets a lot of the time. Now, the Champions League has worked out well, but he got through 7-6. Haven't been 5-0 up in one particular match, but he got through. And it is exciting to watch. There's no doubt from the Liverpool supporters, but you could never feel secure. If I was a Liverpool supporter watching Liverpool, if there were three up, I still wouldn't feel secure about it. But it is exciting. He believes in it. I don't necessarily believe, and I wouldn't agree with it because I think that there could be more of a balance to it.
Mm.
But they're in the final of the Champions League.
Would you have liked to have played against this Liverpool team? Would you have looked at them and thought, if we're disciplined, if we keep our shape, that we can keep their defence out, or their attack out, and we know they're always going to give up opportunities? Are they the sort of side that actually, if you're playing as part of a high-quality team, you'd relish going up against, or is there such a fear factor there from the way they attack?
I don't think you'd relish it, Nathan, because you'd always be scared stiff of the three attacking players. They're absolutely brilliant. And, you know, they can score against the best of opposition. So you'd have to be very, very wary of that. But you'd still, I mean, you'd want to be in a good team. You know what I mean? You'd want to be, I would fancy playing in the Manchester City team against them, despite the fact now they were beaten, no matter they beat Manchester City in the last few weeks very, very well. But I would think that, no, I'm talking on a personal level here. That's what I'd like to play. Or the Manchester United team, for that matter.
Looking
they do defend.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, man.
And control the ball, control the game. You know, you control the game in the midfield. So what you try to do then is keep it away from the front three, which are brilliant. In other words, if you dominate the game and control the game, obviously the less ball they get, Nathan. And that's the best way to do it. It's going to be fascinating in the final to see if Modric and Cruz can control the middle of the field in the way they're going to need to control when they play Liverpool in the final.
Yeah, and it was pretty noticeable on Tuesday night in the game between Madrid and Munich that Modric struggled to have the normal level of control that he has in these type of big games.
Yes.
Was that something that Bayern did to nullify Modric, or how can Liverpool repeat that?
I don't think Klopp will concentrate on Modric. I think Klopp concentrates just on his own team. This is what we're going to. I don't think he'll be saying, "Well, we're going to put Modric out of the game, man, mark him or anything." I don't think he'll do anything like that, Nathan. But in the match the other night, he just didn't play well, Modric. I mean, to be honest, Real Madrid didn't play well.
Mm.
I thought they looked a bit jaded in relation to where they were last year and the year before when they were winning it. And actually, we're a bit lucky to get away with it. So they didn't play well at all. Now, they haven't been doing well in the league, as we know. And maybe from that position, they might think, well, when we play in the big matches, we'll pick it up. But you don't pick it up, Nathan. You can't, unless you're doing it week in and week out, which Liverpool are doing because they're looking to get the top spot. They're also doing well in the Champions League, as we know. So they're at a consistent level of competitiveness week in and week out. I'm not so sure Real and Madrid are. I think what they're hoping, when we play Liverpool in the final, we'll pick up to the game and play the way we know we can play. I think that's dangerous, Nathan. I don't think you can pick it up as easily as that.
They're looking to win it for the third year in a row, fourth time in 5 years. So most of these players have a lot of Champions League medals in their pocket, in stark contrast to the Liverpool players. Is that then something that actually Madrid can take, that sort of inbuilt confidence? And what you're saying, you look over their entire campaign, there haven't been a huge amount of outstanding performances, but they have beaten Paris Saint-Germain, beaten Juventus, beaten Bayern Munich to get to a Champions League final. The sort of inbuilt confidence that gives you, is that Liverpool just can't match, is that a factor in games like this?
Well, that's a different element to it. I think it can give you a confidence, but it can give you a misplaced confidence in that we're not doing it every week, week in and week out, as Liverpool are doing in the Premiership, but we'll be able to pick it up on the day. They didn't pick it up the other night, Nathan. They got away with it, really, and they're way behind the league. I mean, the Real Madrid we saw last year and the year before were much more competitive. I think they were winning the league, or they were very close in the league. They weren't 19 points behind like they are now. Like, if you're 19 points, it tells a story. It means they're not doing it week in and week out, Nathan. And I don't believe that you can pick it up because you're playing the semi-final or the final. Whereas Liverpool are doing it week in and week out because they have to be competitive to finish in the top four in the Prem. So I think there's an advantage to Liverpool in the approach to this game. So it'll be fascinating to see if Real Madrid can pick it up. But they shouldn't be going into a match picking it up. Like what they've done in previous years is be very competitive and very good week in and week out. So it's second nature to go into a match in a competitive way.
And can Liverpool take a lot from the way both Juventus and Bayern Munich played in the second legs, that perhaps even though they're clubs of such stature, Juventus and Bayern seem to play Real a lot of respect in the first leg, yet when the shackles were off and they really had to go for it in the second leg, when they attacked Real Madrid, there were quite a lot of weaknesses there. They were actually able to get at them, and it's hard to imagine Liverpool would play any other way. It's hard to imagine them going into that game with the level of respect for Real that those other two teams did. Liverpool, as you say, with that front three, they're going to go for this.
I think they'll have a go at them, Liverpool, all right. Real Madrid got away with it a bit, you know. Even in Munich, they didn't play all that well. And the other night, I mean, the goalkeeper let them down, let Bayern Munich down very badly to put Real Madrid in the position that they were in. But they haven't actually been playing well. So there'll be some comfort in Liverpool's approach going into the match. Again, nobody knows. But if I was a Real Madrid supporter, I'd want them to be near the top of the league, competing for it week in and week out. That's a state of mind, Nathan. And then when you go into every match and the final, you're in that particular frame of mind, rather than, well, we haven't done well, but we'll pick it up for the final. I'm not sure they can do it. And again, they're going to depend on Ronaldo. Ronaldo wasn't on his game the other night. Modric wasn't on his game the other night. And that's the semi-final, where they really, it's a big enough match to be on your game and being as competitive as you possibly can. I think Real Madrid got away with it in the two matches against Bayern Munich.
Off the ball. This is News Talk.
Welcome back to Thursday's Off the Ball. John Giles is on the line. John, it's obviously a huge night for Arsenal, this Europa League semi-final against Atletico Madrid. And Arsene Wenger's last ever home game coming up on Sunday for Arsenal. And with those scenes at Old Trafford last weekend with Alex Ferguson making the presentation to Wenger. And it really brought home, in a way, the difference in the way the two men will leave the club. Ferguson leaving as a hero, as Premier League champions, whereas Wenger, I'm sure there'll be a great reception from on Sunday, but you can't help escape the feeling that the Arsenal fans, it's half-hearted, that actually, in many ways, they're delighted he's going, despite all the success he's brought them over the last 20 years.
I think he'll get a good reception, Nathan, because, you know, he is leaving, they know he's leaving. I think what they were up in arms about with Marie, was he going to stay on next year, but they didn't want to stay on. But I think they will respect the record that he's had now that he's going. I have no doubt. I think he'd get a big reception, quite rightly, from the Arsenal fans of the weekend.
Do you look at him and wonder what the hell is he going to do next? Football seems to have been everything from Arsenal, has been everything from. He will admit himself that he wasn't working 6 days, 6.5 days. He was working 7 days a week for Arsenal for the last 22 years. And that, I don't know, maybe Alex Ferguson discovered other interests in his last couple of years and seems to have quite an enjoyable life now. But for Wenger, if he doesn't have football, he doesn't have anything.
No, it's very sad, Nathan. There's no doubt what can happen to these great managers. Because in my experience with them, they're absolutely fanatics. You know, Ferguson was a fanatic. Wenger is definitely a fanatic. And when you read about him, he doesn't have any friends. I think he was divorced a couple of years ago. So the club was everything to them. They actually give their life to the club. You know, looking at Ferguson, you know, Ferguson goes away with the Ryder Cup team, and it looks like he's trying to make himself busy, because you can't just switch it off having the fanaticism that Ferguson had and Wenger has. I mean, to be fair to Ferguson, he finished out of his own accord. Wenger's been forced out, there's no doubt about that. So it must be very, very hurtful to him after all that he's done for the club over the years. So, I know it's strange sounds, but I'd feel a lot of sympathy for him. I don't know what he's going to do. I think he'll get another job, Nathan. I don't think he's finished in the game. I don't think he's done anything else in his life, to be quite honest, which is a very sad situation, having done what he's done in his football and managerial career particularly.
Yeah. Did you feel that when you were in management, that if you were to go and continue on and try and become one of the great managers, that you would have to have a total obsession, that it would need to be 24/7, that it mightn't be like being a player where at times you can switch off, you get an off season, you get a couple of weeks away on holidays, that actually for the next 20 years, your entire life is going to be dedicated to the football club and really everything else has to play second fiddle?
Yeah, well, you don't realise that till you're in it. I mean, to be quite honest, now, I was fanatical about being a player. I had that as a player, Nathan. Everything was about playing, and I was absolutely fanatical about it. When I went into management, I didn't know what the score was, but I found out very, very quickly that it wasn't a bed of roses, let's put it that way. And I also went, my first time as a manager, went to the Players Managers Associations, and there were a lot of old managers there, and I actually found them very sad looking, Nathan. See, in my time it was a different time. Like Ferguson finished as a very, very wealthy individual. Wenger's finished as a very, very wealthy individual, so they don't have to worry about the finances. But the managers of my day, Shankly, Cullis, Bill Nicholson, Don Revie, Nathan, they finished without a penny. There was no money in it. they had this insecurity, and that's why a lot of them stayed in it as long as they did. They were fanatical, but none of them had the financial resources. Alf Ramsey finished in the hospital with Alzheimer's, just a general hospital. These guys didn't have any money, and you know, when I looked at them in the manager, and this fans, I don't mean that they found this in a bad way, but I found them, the managers that I idolised that were at the meeting, I found them for some reason sad individuals. I didn't know why, but I thought, I don't end up like that.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
That you can dedicate your life.
So I didn't realise it afterwards that they didn't, like, I'm not saying they're worried about money, but money had to be an issue with them, and they were all treated dreadfully badly. You know, Jack Steen was one of the great managers when he was finished at Celtic, having done all the things he did. They offered him a job, apparently, in the pools office, you know? And things like that happened to these particular managers. You know, Don Reeve was a manager I had, and he had to go to, you know, he was manager of England for a while, but he had to go to the United Emirates, one of those countries.
He went to the Middle East.
The Middle East to finish up with a few bob. Now, he had 14 years great success at Leeds, but they were treated very, very badly. But, you know, particularly financially, there was no money in for them. They were treated badly. Like Bill Nicholson, I had an experience with Bill Nicholson. Bill Nicholson was a great old man. You heard him at Tottenham, Nathan. You might have heard of him. He was the first manager to win the double in that particular century.
61,
with Dave McKean, a great manager. And when I was sort of finishing at West Brom, or said I was finishing, I had spoken to Bill Nicholson because he interviewed me for the Spurs job when he was finishing, and he felt that he had the power to appoint a manager. And I spoke to him 2 weeks later. He rang me. He said, "Look, I'm embarrassed. The board have appointed somebody else." I said, "That's all right. It was okay by me." But when I was having my dispute at West Brom, when I was looking for certain conditions, Bill Nicholson actually was made manager of the under 18 team at Spurs. And he was coming up to West Brom and we were playing him in a match. And I thought, "Oh, that's great. I'd be delighted to have a chat with Bill Nicholson. He's a very nice man. He's an old manager. He'll know what I'm talking about." And when I saw him, he said, what's this all about? You're going to finish." I said, "Yeah." And I explained to him why. And he said, "You got to put up with that."
Yeah.
You know, I thought he'd say, "Yeah, good on you." You know, but he'd gone through the mill. He was humiliated at Spurs. He was given the job with the, you know, and I thought, well, he'd be a good man. But he said, no, you have to put up with that. So all these guys had gone through the mill. I'm only saying that as a difference, that these guys didn't have the financial resources to finish on a good level. Now, Wenger and Ferguson and the managers of today, the successful men, would, in my opinion, be very, very wealthy individuals. Now, I'm not saying the money is everything, Nathan, but it's very, very important when you don't have it and you're 66, 67 or 70 years of age.
Mm. Don Revie got absolutely slaughtered for taking the job with the United Arab Emirates at the time. And obviously it was something, even though he was a hugely successful manager with Leeds, went on to manage England, it was something he felt he had to do. Did you ever talk to him about that? Did he feel any bitterness that he had to go down that route to be able to sustain himself into his later years?
I wasn't that close to him in that way, Nathan. I just knew that, you see, a lot of Don Revie's case, I knew this particularly well. You see, everybody's under the impression that Don Revie would have been loved by the directors. In fact, he wasn't loved by the directors, because I know for a fact, when Don took over, first of all, he wasn't very successful, and he got a really, really hard time from the directors. When Don got on top, he was very, very hard on the directors. He didn't like them. But he was in a position of power.
Right.
And they didn't like him. Right. But the only thing they had control over was his wages. And I know for a fact, Don was on 15 grand a year after 14 years at Leeds.
And how did that compare to other managers?
Very well. He had to go the England job.
Yeah.
They could have stopped him going, leaving Leeds if they'd made the financial situation better. But they thought, no, let him go. And we get anybody else in to do the job. Now, so Don went with England. The only thing I'll say that I couldn't defend him on, the way he left England, he didn't do it very well, Nathan.
Why? What happened?
He was found out whilst he was manager of the England team, going to talk to the people.
Okay, so he'd essentially so even his friends, go behind their backs.
Like, I would regard myself as a friend or an admirer of his. I couldn't defend him. You know, I couldn't say, well, he's right. He should have finished with England and then gone to speak to them. But he actually did it and was found out speaking to these particular people when he was manager of the England team.
Right.
Which was sad in itself. You know? But I'm going back a long time. I'm only saying
I think the money they were saying
like
was...
Ferguson and Wenger, okay, they might be sad, they're fanatics, but at least they've got financial background to do exactly what they like. They're independent that way. The old managers, Steen, Revy, Shankly, Ramsey, all these guys finished, in my opinion, in a poor way.
John,
and I'm making the point, when I saw these things happen, I didn't want to finish that particular
that way. Yeah, I think you probably made the right decision.
I was never going to be a great manager anyway.
Great pundit though, John. Thankfully you went down this route, and great to have you as always on a Thursday night. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Nathan.
Football on Off the Ball.
Brought to you by the Boyle Sports app. Cash out and in-play betting available in the App Store and Google Play Store.